We pray, Lord, your blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. While you're standing, let's sing, I lift my hands to thee, O Lamb of Calvary. Brother Mark, come and sing it tonight. Everybody sing it and worship the Lord. If you don't know it, just follow the pattern. Honor God with uplifted hands and praise Him and love Him. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love you. I lift my hands to thee.
You're my everything.
You sure it's not God? He is God, isn't he? But what's that holy name? Why should his name be called Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. Savior. To save his people from their sins. Aren't you glad to be a part of the people of God? Brother Vernon, praise God.
If you worship with me on this song that I try to sing, blessed be his holy name.
There is healing in the name of Jesus. I was suffering in my body, racked with pain. Then I called on the lovely name of Jesus. Blessed be his holy name. There is strength when you speak the name of Jesus. Oh, all our help is in the lovely name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah.
worship Him from the depths of your heart tonight. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you. We have a number of requests. We had a bunch of leftovers last night, and I'd like to have Heaven City Limit, if that group is here tonight. Are they here? Amen. If you are, just stand up. Tanya, Sharon, who else? All right, Linda, here is she? Stand up. Amen. Come on up and give that thing. If you had just one word to say in a time of trouble, what would you say? Oh, boy, you're young in this. You're young in this. There's a better word to say than glory. That's it. There you go. That's all right. We're not going to fall out with you now. But let me quote to you from Acts 4:12. No other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. I heard a story, I believe Brother Urson told this, of a court case where a woman was trying to keep her children, and she was accused of being a bad mother, an unfit mother, and the judge ruled against her. But she was truly a good Christian woman. But the judge ruled that the husband, ex-husband, would get the children. And he got up to leave his bench. And that mother screamed out, Jesus! 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 And stopped the judge in his tracks. And he turned around and took his seat again on the bench and recanted his own decision and said, I've changed my mind. I rule in the favor of this lady. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know a preacher 30-some years ago going up a hill early in the morning, sun in his face. And the windshield wipers were not working properly. The vacuum going uphill would not pull the windshield wipers. And there was a barricade in the road, and they had took up a section of the highway, and he could not see for the sun. And suddenly he hit this barricade and dropped the front wheels of his car off in that ditch, and it just went right on over on his top. And the preacher said, Jesus! And the top was crushed all the way flat down to the front seats. And the preacher was falling around down inside somewhere. And when I came to, I was trying to turn the key off. And I was on my elbows and knees in the top of that car. And it was upside down. And someone was trying to pry the door open where I could get out. And when I did get out, I was scared to death. The wheels was rolling, you know, on the car, and I run around and said, didn't hurt it much, did it? Almost totally, but that's the way I was feeling then. But I looked back on the scene, and I only had time to say one word. Jesus. I didn't get a scratch. Lost my shoes, broke my shoestrings, scared me half to death, but came out all right. I give praise to the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. He's good. Sing, trio, sing. Praise God.
Thank you.
good singing. See Brother David Goss coming in with some visitors, and I think one of them at least just recently prayed through to the Holy Ghost. Point him out, David. Wonder if he could testify.
Praise God.
All right. Received the Holy Ghost last Wednesday night in Brother Hill's church on 33rd and 3rd. That's great.
Amen.
We got any more newborn babies around here like testify, just freshly come into the church, just maybe since last night. Amen. Well, get up and tell us about it then. Get up and testify. All stand up, lazy.
All stay and really. It's been really great. I've been going around
telling
everybody what's happening.
Praise God. And I really got blessed
in
that, and I really do
appreciate it.
And I need your help all last night, and
I'll give it to you.
Praise God.
That's great. Praise the Lord. And the other boy, Steve, had to go to school tonight, but probably will be here tomorrow night. Hey, I'm looking for a revival, 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 revival. One old dry shuck church member one time said to me, he said, "What do you mean revival? Mean you've been vibed once and need to be revived again?" I said, "Boy, that's right." Amen. We need it again and again and again and again and again. Keep it moving. Keep it,
hallelujah.
You know, just keep yourself saturated with the glorious power of the gospel. Well, glory. I'm going that way. Amen. Let's stand and sing it, and keep standing after the song, and we'll receive the offering and then turn the service to our evangelist.
Praise.
I've heard of a land of joy and peace and wonderful life, a beautiful place of mansions fair and shining and bright, where all who believe the Savior dear forever shall stay. When trials are past, I know it shall be him face to face. Brother Warbington?
Yes.
Say, God bless Brother Warbington. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Rutledge. And everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be back here tonight. It's good to feel the Holy Ghost. It's good to know the Holy Ghost when you feel it. That's right. A few weeks ago in the Democrat Voices page, somebody wrote an article or a letter to the editor,
and called the name of the Assembly of God in the United Pentecostal Church and called us Miracle Boys. Said we were Miracle Boys because we perform all these miracles, but we always perform it in areas where it can't be proved. I'm glad tonight that I have enough ability, spiritual vision, to understand what a physical miracle is when I see it without questioning the veracity of it.
Amen.
And I'm also glad I have enough spiritual vision tonight to know what the Holy Ghost is when I feel it.
Amen.
And I'm glad I know what speaking in tongues is.
Amen.
Folks, I'm used to folks at home saying amen to me. Y'all are good. Brother Rutledge, he must be the most perfect preacher in the world. He don't have to say, have y'all say amen, but I have to say, have you say amen. And, but anyway, I'm glad I know something about the Spirit of the Lord.
When you
have a service. I guess I'm in trouble now. Y'all are extremists. But anyway, and I recognize the Holy Ghost if it's loud. I know if it's really the Holy Ghost, if it's not the Holy Ghost. If it's quiet, I know if it is or if it's not. I'm glad I do. Because there have been a lot of blessings came my way. When the whole atmosphere of the service would have been totally against my grain because I am by nature kind of a laid-back person. And I would have missed a lot of blessings if I said, that's not God.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of times when it was so quiet that I would have missed the blessing. I wouldn't have recognized the Holy Ghost if I hadn't known that the Holy Ghost can come quiet or fast or loud, whatever. Now, the Holy Ghost is here tonight, and I thank God for it. The beautiful thing about this service tonight is that we have been once again endorsed.
Amen.
Bless God, we have been endorsed tonight. Had a man stand up in the back who received the Holy Ghost last Wednesday night. Had a man stood up at the front that received the Holy Ghost last night and was baptized in Jesus' name. And then there are those of us around here tonight that have just received an infilling or a new refreshing or revive. What did you say? They said you've been vibed, maybe you've been revived. And now we've received a refreshing, a reviving, and we've been endorsed again tonight. That's the greatest proof that the Holy Ghost is still real is when somebody prays through the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Let the agnostics talk about it and say there's nothing to it, but when people come in out of the rough and out of the world, like Russell did last night, and get the Holy Ghost, and that tells me that the Holy Ghost is still real. Oh, not still. Whoever said it wasn't real anyway? Why did I say still real? Who said it was going to play out? That's exactly right. Tell me about it. He don't know what he's talking about, does he? That's right. But he'd argue with you tonight that you didn't get the Holy Ghost. Brother Becton said, I'm preaching right now, so go ahead and time me. Brother Becton said that some psychologists and psychiatrists did some research on religious people, and all religious people are by nature less hyper, less emotional, and I mean that by emotional extremes, than the normal person. But they have proven that the real, genuine Pentecostals who are dedicated to their church have the least health problems, the least marital problems, the least financial problems, the least of any kind of problems. But did you hear what I said? People who are real Pentecostals and really dedicated, they have proven that they have less problems than any of the other religious people. If they could really get down to the nitty-gritty and come into our churches and see where people in our churches came from.
Yeah. That's right.
I did a little study not too long ago. I'm preaching from the first chapter of Colossians tonight. I did a little study not too long ago. It was just kind of accidental. I was looking at a history of Demopolis, Alabama. That was the first area settled in the western side of the state of Alabama. The French came there. Follow me? After they settled it, the next thing you know, they've got their government set up. Politicians are elected. Then they have their colleges. They set up their colleges. Then they set up their hospitals. Then they set up their insane asylums. And last, they set up their prisons. They got politicians before they needed prisons. They got colleges before they needed prisons. They got hospitals before they needed prisons. And they got insane asylums before they needed prisons. I want to tell you something. I believe God has done something for us tonight that if the world could understand what's going on, they'd realize we could eradicate the jails, the insane asylums. And I'm talking about all of us, and I've got an allergy condition. I'm looking for the day God completely heals me, that when He's healed me instantly before. And if the church could come to that place where we can honestly grasp exactly what the Lord wants to do, I'll guarantee you that we might have a little sickness. I don't believe in perfect health, but we might have a little sickness. But I believe that with prayer and seeking God and faith exercised throughout the church family, God can heal every disease that comes. I throw that out there. I don't know how we're going to handle that. But I believe that if people could study the Pentecostals who received the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, they would recognize the answer to every problem in the world. Now, that's a broad statement. I realize I stand here tonight to be shot for the holes on that one, but I just believe that God has done something miraculous for us. I've got elders in my church, and they're young men, but they're elders in our church because we don't have any old people in our church. I wish we did. But the older folks that we've got in our church are so caught up in doing the things they want to do that you can't depend on them. You never know if they're going to be at church or not. And so these young people, young men, 35, 40 years old, tell how old I'm getting, can't you? young guys. They're elders in the church, but not one of them was brought up in Pentecost. They came to our churches, went to our church right out of the world, out of the drug culture, out of the rock and roll, right out of that element, and came in and loved God with such an intensity that they can sing the same song every service and still get blessed. That's the truth. They can sing the same song every service, and tears roll down their faces because they don't know how to be professional and diverse. Praise God. Now, I want to preach tonight from a subject. I'm going to call it deliverance. It's in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. We'll start at the first verse. This is a reason I don't do too good at preaching, because I get up here and carry on before I get started, and then it's anticlimactic or whatever. But chapter 1 of Colossians and verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossus, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now I call verses 9 through 11 the spiritual spiral. If you get into that study a little bit, you'll see that he starts at where that they come to be filled with the knowledge of his will and spiritual understanding, walking worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And if you look at that, it's kind of a spiritual spiral. And just keep getting wider and higher. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want to read the last two verses, 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us. He didn't just deliver us, but he translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. We're not here as aliens, but we're here as a bought possession.
Hallelujah.
We have redemption through his blood. The precious blood of Calvary bought us, paid for us, washed away our sins, and we are here as free people, even the forgiveness of sins. And I'm going to preach tonight from a subject I've called deliverance. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to read with me verses 22 through 26. In our part of saving souls, I believe we have to follow these scriptures. And if we intend to be abrasive and critical of one of those that God saved, we need to get permission to be. If we're going to be abrasive and critical of anybody that God saves,
amen,
we need to get permission to be.
Amen.
The reason I say this is because you stand as a judge, and I don't think any of us are capable, including myself, I don't think we're capable of standing by and listening to somebody speaking in tongues and say if that is real or if it's not real just because it doesn't sound exactly like I think it ought to. I baptized a man that has lived for God for 5 years faithfully. He's a prayer warrior. Will do anything that you ask him to do at that church. Is a faithful man. Loves God. Has a concept of the Scripture. When he got the Holy Ghost, he sounded like an Indian chanting. I never heard anybody talk in tongues like that. But I didn't stand there and say, I just don't believe that was tongues. All right? If God gives that person the Holy Ghost and they don't seem to line up as quick as I think they should, I have a tendency to be critical or judgmental of that person. It's true that every physical body does not develop quite as rapidly as other bodies. Not only that, but children. The reason that some kids fail in school and then come out of school and do exceedingly well in business is because their minds did not mature with the classroom atmosphere as well as it did after they got out of school and began to apply some things. I didn't understand fractions when I was in school. I never did know why 33 and a third equaled a third. 66 and two-thirds is two-thirds. I didn't know, and I'm not too smart on them now, but at least I know that much. I didn't understand all that stuff until I got out of school and started using a measuring tape, a ruler, a carpenter's rule. And then I got to understand what a quarter meant. Three quarters. Why don't they have two quarters? I didn't realize that's a half. Man, I got smart there in a few days. I really came around a lot. But everybody don't develop spiritually as fast as others. And I think you can see that if you just look around this church right here. There are probably some of you that you still don't seem to grasp the things the preacher preaches while somebody else is chomping at the bit before he ever gets to it because they have a scriptural insight. I don't understand that. But nevertheless, it is true. But we have a responsibility to the people we see saved, and it's not a responsibility to be judgmental of them, but rather this is it. Flee also youthful lust, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, sometimes people not doing things that you think they should do, they're not opposing the church, they're opposing themselves.
Right.
If you can, with meekness, instruct them, you can help them to help themselves, but they're not going to hurt the church, is what the Bible says. They oppose themselves.
Right.
If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Everybody that gets the Holy Ghost needs to be given a decent chance to make their lives acceptable to God.
Amen.
Every person that gets the Holy Ghost needs that right. Everybody is entitled to a mistake. And Paul is saying if a person is entrapped and is ensnared, he needs to be instructed with meekness that he and gentleness that he might recover himself out of the snare of the devil. The Bible does not say that if a man makes a mistake, he's forever doomed to hell. I thank God that if I've learned anything in the last 21, 22 years, it's mercy and compassion. I'll tell you how I learned a lot of that, and don't be critical tonight, but I learned a lot of that in raising a family.
Yeah.
That taught me more about human nature than anything else, I guess, ever. I had all the answers for all the married men until I got married.
Yeah.
I had all the answers for all the young parents until we had kids. I didn't think a kid ought to even holler in church. You know, I mean, don't even whimper. Don't shake a rattle in church. Don't squeak one of those little squeakies. Don't do anything but just sit there like a little holy pope. And I mean reverence, you know. And then we got kids, and I learned that right at the most inopportune time, they do things they shouldn't. Well, anyway, then we got teenagers, and that's a whole new world.
Yeah. Praise God.
But anyway, if we could get the concept of a person, Russell here tonight, for instance, I talked to my new brother back on the back, I don't know his name yet, but anyway, I talked to him. You guys come in, and automatically, I know where you're headed if you follow those of the Lord.
That's right.
But the real thing is to recognize where he would be tonight if God hadn't touched his heart. And then look next door at Brother Sammy and think where he would be if God hadn't touched his heart. And back there at Brother J.E. who brought Brother Russell. And think of where Brother J.E. was the last time I preached a revival in your church. He wasn't here. He wasn't standing with his lips trembling, thanking the Lord that he's made by bringing a couple of men to church and seeing baptized in Jesus' name. And so think about it. Where we would all be tonight if it hadn't been for the fact that Jesus delivered from the power of darkness. Oh, but we've been in church for 10 years and we forgot what the darkness of the world is. They changed their time to sing it, and it's no more Hank Williams. I mean, we still get in the car and we poke old Hank in. You know, we're going to listen to him, but we're not going to listen to ZZ Top. I don't know. But we listen to Hank Williams and think, boy, you can stay spiritual and listen to this, and maybe you can. But what I'm telling you is, you can forget how deep in darkness you were when you came in if you're not careful and think, boy, this is a generation that is beyond redemption. Don't you believe that? The Bible says that Jesus is able to save from the power of darkness. And he's talking about the darkness of this present world, the world tonight. We've got in our area there just recently, there's been a man, A.Y. Green, that owned a Chevrolet dealership, was caught with several $1,000s worth of cocaine. He was delivering it to an up and coming lawyer in El Dorado. Both of those guys were caught, but it was a setup. The lawyer who had this problem with the cocaine had gone to the authorities, or at least had been called, had returned state's evidence, whatever. He set up AY on a little country road in Union County. They exchanged this $38,000 or something like that worth of cocaine. The authorities moved in, got AY. And you know what they did? They turned him loose. He had a business, and they turned him loose, and he said, I'll do better. He wasn't off the hook 6 months until they caught him at Monroe, picking up something off the airplane down there, several $100,000 worth of cocaine. He was into it. Okay, a man gets into that. He burns his brain. He destroys his body. He ruins his family. He ruins his business. But I'm telling you, the Jesus I serve tonight is able to go beyond every thought that you have and is able to save that person from the power of darkness. We don't know the hold that sin has on people tonight behind the closed doors and the shuttered windows of this city. We don't know the hold that sin has, but Jesus tonight knows. And the power of the gospel is still sufficient to save that person from the powers of darkness. Amen. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit, if I can, about that kingdom of darkness. You see, the Bible said in 6:12 Ephesians, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So often we do, Brother Rutledge. We try to take a person who's not doing exactly like they ought to do, and we try to philosophically cram this thing down their throat. We try to show them why this is only right. You never do that. You hear Brother Treadway say that trying to get a holiness, get a person to live holy that's not holy inside is like trying to put socks on a rooster. He said, you can't put holiness on people who are not holy. It's like putting socks on a rooster. He said, even if you could ever get the socks on him, he's not too graceful. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. If there are spirits that rise in this church to cause dissension and confusion and to stop the flow of revival, jealousies or animosities or whatever it could be, those things didn't come from flesh and blood that we're going to have to worry about. It's coming from the principalities and powers of the darkness of this world. And the only thing that will take care of that is the power of the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you this with no reservation. The power of the Holy Ghost is able to take the most turbulent spirit and make it calm.
Amen.
We don't know. We don't know what we're doing if we're playing with this great deliverance. Right. A few years ago, I had a family came to our church to visit. I made an effort to be friendly to them. My church did. We didn't know that we had helped them at all. It was about a year later. They came to our church one Sunday night. The man told me, he said, the time I was here, he said, I was really searching for a church. He said, but I was of such denominational persuasion, and so I just changed to another church like that. So we spent a year there. We put our lives into it. But said, I felt something here the night we came, and I just couldn't get away from it. We'd come back. Well, I preached the Holy Ghost essential, baptism in Jesus' name essential. I preached living for God. And they weren't arrogant. They came and knelt at the altar. We prayed with him several times. His wife just prayed through right off. And so one night, laid hands on him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. They were just doing real good. Taught him one of those one-day Bible studies. And that's the way I actually converted him to the full truth. But they were doing real good. And then they let people. Now, if Andy comes in, he preaches to all the sinners. Because I don't know, preach to folks that might be on shaky ground, but he preaches to each other, those souls, he says. They let people get to talking to them. After church, they say, well, I don't understand this. You know, nobody ever gets used here, but so-and-so. And I don't understand this. They say, you know, some people think it's better. Now, some people, you may be able to talk your head off about things that go over this church, about your preacher, about the evangelist, about the length of the sermon, about the volume of music, about everything. But if you ain't talking to somebody, you can't tell that.
You're right.
And these people could have done everything. And so they reacted to the criticism that was coming from the church, from the church people. They reacted to that. And they reacted negatively. And began to go down spiritually. But I went to their home. They called me and said, you got to come down here. I went. Now, we're not just talking about what I had my say. We're talking about a world out there that is a power. It's a kingdom of darkness. It's a world where things are not like they are in this beautiful sanctuary tonight, where people are delivered and set free. But it's a world of bondage. It's a world of sexual impurity. It's a world of mental problems out there. And if you're not careful, you could cause somebody to regret into that.
Amen.
Okay, I went down there, and I've never witnessed anything like it in my life.
Praise God.
The spirit of that home had turned so violent. Everybody in the house, there was just a hate you age. The man was sitting at one end of the table, and the woman at the other end, and the two sons. One of the sons was 38 years old, and was had shot his mind in the service on some kind of drugs.
And that boy walked back and forth, all the time. And they were screaming all kinds of accusations at one another, actually the lady more than the man. And I couldn't get them to hush and listen to me. I said, would you please listen to me? And oh, it was a horrible situation for a supposedly Christian home. And finally the boy walked out and slammed the door. And I said, I want to tell y'all something. He's listening to all this, and he can't respond like you do tonight. You may make up. You may say, I forgive you. I said, but he's putting all this junk away. He's in a tower of darkness, a kingdom of darkness. The next day I got a call. They said, you got to come down here and talk to us. I told her, I said, I want you to go. I want you to witness this. She went down. She sat on one side of the table. I'm on the other. Man at one end, lady at the other end. And here this, I thought, oh God, there's no reason for this. There's no reason for people to be so out of touch with each other, so self-centered that they can't even have any reason about them to bring this kind of a hell into a home. What? But I couldn't get them to listen to me. I laid my head on the table and cried and prayed. They wouldn't pray together. So that boy walking back and forth. A man as old as I am walking back. Well, they thought they had the thing all straightened out. Sunday night, the blessing of the Lord fell. Both of them seemed to respond to the Lord. Got home that night, and apparently as soon as they got home, back into that same old fight. You remember what I'm preaching tonight? I'm preaching on deliverance. But I'm telling you what you've been delivered from and what we are delivered from, what we've got to deliver other people from, the power of darkness in this world. I got a call. I was outside. One of the men in my church was there helping me build a little old gate. And I got a call. He went in and answered the phone, came back and said, that's Sister So-and-so. She said, get down there quick. Randy stabbed Brother Bob. I thought, well, probably cut him with a pocket knife. You know, I couldn't even imagine. These are just not, it just wasn't possible. So we drove, this boy drove furiously fast. We got down there. And when we got there, the ambulance was backed up in the yard. I ran up to the door. I don't know what I was expecting to see. I don't know what the power of darkness is. I've been in Pentecost for 21 years. I mean, I've been in all my life, but I've been in the church 21 years. I don't know what the power of darkness is. I never heard my mother and daddy much more than just have a few cross words. And my wife and I have never just drove the fifth city. I didn't know what it was. And I walked up on that carport and I'm seeing these tracks. Barefoot tracks. I mean, barefooted tracks. I think, what in the world is this? I'm bogging in and I walk to the door. I smell this odor. I walk to the door and there's a saint of our church. 6'5". 260 pounds, laying back against some bags of aluminum cans. He's just laying there like this. And sticking out of his throat, there's a knife sticking out that man's throat. I looked at my brother Bob and I thought, my God, he's dead. He's dead. I thought, how can this happen? And that woman started telling me later, she said, we were fussing. There's a world out there that's full of darkness, and that darkness is in your heart. And it'll be like a prison house for us.
Right.
We need to get a hold of the thing that'll set you free. And I'm preaching desperately tonight to let you understand that God is a deliverer. You don't have to be in that kind of bondage tonight. You don't have to be in that
kind of bondage. Come on, baby.
I don't want to go into gory details of that. But let me tell you, when that funeral was over, I sat down at a restaurant table with my wife and another family from the church, and I said, I'll guarantee you before night falls, that lady is going to vent her wrath on me. Within 2 hours from the time I left that restaurant, I got a telephone call. And here she is, spouting all this vicious rebellion. And I thought, you know what? You had a chance.
you had a chance to come into a church where there was purity, where you could get delivered from this old spirit. But here you are, spouting off your vicious criticisms and all of your hatred and your animosities. And that's exactly why your son will spend the rest of his life in an insane asylum or in a jailhouse. That's exactly the reason, because you breathe that sort of stuff. Rather than try to deliver them, you breathe it. This is church. I don't think it's fair for a person to come out of the world and walk into a church and see a tossed up spirit. I think they need to walk in and see people.
If you'll allow me, I'm having a problem with my throat, Brother Rutherford.
Yeah, okay.
If you'll allow me, this is the spirit. I don't know why I'm preaching like this tonight with visitors here. This is the spirit. Come in the church, and the man, and this is sitting in church, the man is sitting with his finger in his left ear. His wife is sitting with her finger in her right ear. And their girl is sitting with her fingers in both ears. It would have been nice if she could have just chosen one ear. But she chose both ears. If daddy can't stand the music in his left ear, and mama can't stand it in the right ear, I can't stand it in either ear. Now, that sounds innocent, all right, but the thing about it is that we're breathing spirits. The hell of heaven with that. There's a power of darkness in this world. And that power can only be broken by the power that is greater, and that's the power of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is all about. It's the break of chains that bind us and hold us. Let's pray right now for God to let people understand what this message is really trying to do tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son.
Right.
In whom we have redemption. Through His blood.
Right.
Even the forgiveness of sins. If I understand the message of baptism right. If I understand what Paul said about Moses. He said they were all baptized in the cloud and in the sea. You look at this a minute. If that was baptism, every Israelite walked behind their leader and went across that Red Sea. When they got across that Red Sea, the Egyptians, a same true thing, came across. But when they got out there too far to retreat, the Lord made what? Water.
Yeah,
he let water come back over them and destroy the Egyptians. On the other side, they weren't counting Egyptians over there. They weren't saying how many Egyptians made it over here on this side. No, there weren't any Egyptians over there. There were Israelites, and they were all liberated. So what were they doing? They were shouting and dancing and praise God. He got everything.
Amen.
Paul said that was baptism. If that's true, when you go into that water, in Jesus' name, when you go down in water in Jesus' name and you come up, everything, everybody, I'm not saying it's going to be true, but I'm going to say it all be true. If when you go down that water in Jesus' name, when you come up, you are a liberated person. You are set free from the power of the darkness of this world. And I'm going to be honest, if I understand baptism right, I don't believe that when you come out of that water, that that devil is going to put that on you. Unless you say, devil, I'm still there.
That's right.
Because you were buried, you have come across the Red Sea, you have been baptized with Jesus Christ, and when you have, friends, you have died. That old man died. If that be true, you have been set free from the power of the darkness of this world. And that's why tonight, Brother Russell, you can rejoice in the Lord. That's why you were singing half the night last night, because the old man died. Amen. Okay? He delivered us from the power of darkness. And he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I was this kid, 17, put my head in my hands, sitting on the platform in our old church hall, put my head in my hands and said, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. I repented. I done everything they told me to do. They told me to say Jesus real fast. I said, as fast as you can say it. I'd have said refrigerator bed told me to say. I've done anything they told me to do, but I said, Jesus. They said, clap your hands. I clapped my hands. I did everything. 4 weeks I did everything. And that night I did what the Bible said.
Yeah.
And I still believe it.
Amen.
I still believe it. I still got folks in El Rey that don't believe, but I still believe it. I don't think it takes a week to repent.
That's right.
I think repentance is just exactly like the word means. If it meant anything else, they'll say it's got to go around this way, come back around this way, come on around here, get back here, you've repented. But it didn't. The word repentance is just exactly the same word that means to make an about face. And all that. I can't do an about face, but some of you military boys could. And click your heels, and you can do that just boom, like that. And you turn and go the other way. That's what repentance is. The instant you change your mind.
Amen.
The instant you say, I am through. The instant you say, I am out of sin for good. I am dying for good. As soon as you say that, you are a candidate for baptism.
Amen.
And if the Holy Ghost happens before baptism, then you're a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Okay? But here you are. I put my head in my hands and I said, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. Give me the Holy Ghost. And the Lord gave me the Holy Ghost. That was on Friday night. I went to school Monday morning and I didn't know. I didn't know it that I looked that way. But teenage girls, old there, and kin folks that went to our church said, we knew when he walked in the room something happened to him. I wasn't deep in sin. I never knew the depths of Satan. But I just wanted to keep him as dear son. So that Friday night, he took me out of the power of darkness and he put me in the kingdom of the dear son. And the next school day, I went to school. And I didn't know.
But there was a spring in my heel.
Yeah. And that's what I ever wrote to something. What in the world is wrong with him? I imagine your friends would think the same thing. I imagine your friends thought the same thing, but something happened to me. That, and what happened? God put me into his kingdom, brought me out of the power of darkness of this world.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory.
Did you leave? Do you mean that's the way I preach tonight? That you're going to sit there and toy with the idea of being here like the king?
Oh, God.
Do you mean that you're happy? Do you mean that you have talked in the past and said, well, it's an evident fact. I'm convinced if I'll never get straight anyway. Do you mean that? I'm talking about God the table. I don't care where you are, how far down you are. Somebody say, oh, but I'm blessed in the Holy Ghost. Explain it to me. Define it. You can't find that. You know you can't. And the devil makes you believe everything you commit is the last thing in the whole world. That's right. I read one scripture in the Bible that says what God will not forgive. And the Bible says if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. So the thing you won't forgive is when you can't be forgiven. But if you forgive everybody else, then God will forgive you. And the last thing is, you let God explain that to you.
Amen.
That's right.
But what you need to do is to get on your knees tonight and say, God, I want to do it. I know I've done a lot of things that were wrong. You may be a backslider here. I don't know what the thing about it is. It doesn't make a difference what you've done, where you are. I would get on my knees tonight and seek God's face. That's right, church. Respond to that. If you want to, and I'm closing now. Play the organ, please. I'll tell you a very personal story. 35 years ago. Make that 25 years ago. A 16-year-old boy raised in Pentecost.
got the Holy Ghost as a young boy, fell in love deeply. Became so deeply involved that it was impossible for his parents, the parents of the girl, to keep him from getting married. And so at a very young age, they married. 6 years after that, three little children, he left them, wife and three kids. About a year after that, the grandfather went out to the little mobile home sitting in the yard to check on them. And the little girl, about five, said, "Mama left," had left those three children. Grandma and Grandpa raised those kids, gave them a home just like they were their parents, took care of everything, never got a dime from either parent. And that boy remarried, fighting, running around, divorced. He remarried, fighting, running around, divorced. He had five wives. His mother said, "Son, why do you marry?" He said, "I want a family too," but he couldn't live with a woman. Or a woman couldn't live with him, whatever the case. Those people prayed and sought God. I know his sister, and I've seen her weep before God for her brother. God saved him. He got involved in drugs and everything. Incredible stories of what he had done. Wind up in another state and never know how he got there. But one night, he told the woman he was living with, he said, "I'm going to church." 41 years old, he said, "I'm going to church." He came in that back door of that church. He didn't stop on the back seat of the Rutledge. He didn't stop halfway down. He came where he grew up. He came down, his mama sitting there, or standing there, worshiping God. He came down and he eased in the tree right beside his mom, sat where he did when he was a 10-year-old boy. Just moved her over. She looked for him and said, "Well, I'm glad you're here tonight." When the altar call was given that night, he went to the altar. He couldn't cry, he couldn't pray. His heart was so hard, but he was trying to get back to God. His dad knelt beside him and said, "Son, this is wonderful. Give your heart to God." He said, I just got so much to unload. I'm so deep in sin." He was saying, "Dad, the powers of darkness have held me so strong. So strong." Well, to make a long story short, with a lot of prayer and a lot of help, a lot of love, a lot of forgiveness, he came through the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's my brother-in-law. My wife's oldest brother. I'll tell you, you talk about go home, go to Paragon. Brother Greer, my brother Rutledge, they got a little riding lawnmower. Don's kind of a Casanova. He gets out on that riding lawnmower. He don't want nobody mowing that yard but him. It's almost like he's trying to say, "God, I thank you that I'm not running drugs to Tennessee anymore. Thank you that I'm out here mowing the yard of the First Pentecostal Church. Deep in sin. Let the trail of unhappiness and broken heart behind me." But it came through to victory. Oh, praise God. Cleaned up his home. Cleaned up his relationship. Tried to establish a relationship with those children he deserved. It's good to see him with his hands in the air and tears rolling down his face. It's better to see him bringing people in and sitting them on the front pew with him, telling them what to do, get that all to pray. It's good to see him kneeling down and washing feet in communion time. The powers of darkness, God can deliver us from them. Praise God. Let's ask him right now to deliver somebody in this place. Don't leave the building right now. Wait for the Lord to work.